So what I wanted to say, this is the only slide I've got for the entire session, so the whole thing is demo-based. But what I'm trying to do is introduce you to a solution to a specific problem. Does anyone here have an extranet? Yep. Okay. How do you manage your users on an extranet? Anyone?
AD accounts?
Claims accounts. Okay, what happens if, let's say, you provision an AD account for someone outside your organization, they only log in once a year, inevitably they're going to lose their password or forget their password. Who is responsible for fixing that up? Would that be you or someone in your organization?
Someone else, yeah.
Yeah, and it's quite a pain, isn't it? Right. So that is the specific problem we're trying to solve here. We're trying to take extranet authentication out of the organization, right? So that the user can use accounts that they've already got. So, a good example of this might be a Google account. So who's got a Google or a Gmail account? Yep, hands up, you got a Facebook account. Live ID? Yeah, pretty much everyone in this room is covered by at least one of those. And as a result, those are the three I'll be targeting in this session. Sorry, there's sound coming from the laptop. Right. Now, there is something I did want to mention too, and that while I'm doing this for 2013, the exact same principles with no changes at all apply for 2010. The only thing you have to do that's a little bit different is with 2013, claims-based authentication on your web applications is the default now. Right? So if you're using classic mode authentication, this won't work for you because you need to switch over to claims. There are a few bugs with claims, but for the most part, those have been resolved in 2013. So what we're going to do is kick straight into the demo, so that's really distracting. And what you can see here is my SharePoint 2013 environment. And the first thing I'm going to need to do is log into the Azure Management Portal. So if you haven't seen it before, this is what the Azure Management Portal looks like. All right. Now, not terribly pretty, but this is the older version. There is a newer version that's in testing at the moment. And what I'm going to do is first off create a namespace. So I'll go to Service Bus, Access Control, and Caching, sorry. I've just figured out a bug. Just give me 1 second. So what I wanted to show you was this.
But when we talk about the new project,
it's all right, no matter.
Down
in the bottom left-hand corner here, you can see Service Bus, Access Control, and Caching. That's where we're going to go. And you can see we've already got a namespace in there, and that's called SharePoint. Now, just quickly, I'm going to show you, before we go any further, exactly what I'm talking about with the authentication. So I'm going to go to this site, sharethepoint.com, and I'm going to click sign in.
So that's why we're
mute button should do the trick, I reckon. And you can see, as soon as I click sign in, I've got two options here. I've got Google and I've got Facebook, right? And if you have a look up at this URL, you can see it's actually going to sharethepoint.accesscontrol. Let me see if I can expand it out a bit. accesscontrol.windows.net/v2/WS Federation. So that's actually in Azure right now rather than inside of SharePoint. So I'm going to click Facebook. And that's redirected me to Facebook. So I can say, do I want to log in to use this Facebook account with the Facebook application SharePoint? And voila, I am logged in. So is that pretty cool? Is that a better way of authenticating than, you know, typing in a username and password, you know, and a little box that pops up? I kind of think it is. I think it's a lot neater. So let's go about actually setting all of this up. All right, the first thing I'm gonna do is I'm going to go back to Azure and I'm going to click New and create a new namespace. Okay, I'm going to call this one Emroads Demo. I'm gonna check to make sure it is available. And we'll set it for Southeast Asia, as we don't really have anything local to us, but you can pick whichever one you want, and the performance is roughly the same. Okay, and I click Create Namespace. Now, that is set at activating, as you can see there. Can everyone see that okay? Yep, great. Now, it's gonna take a couple of minutes to do that, so while it's doing that, we'll go back to Central Admin, and there's a few things we need to do. We need to go and have a look at our web application, and we need to make sure we've got a site collection ready to go. So in this case, I've got a web application called www.demo.local, and I'm going to have a look at the authentication providers for that. And you can see the default is to claims-based authentication there. It needs to be. While this is default on SharePoint 2013, if you're running SharePoint 2010, you need to make sure that's claims, not classic mode authentication. Okay. And the things I want to check here at this stage are that anonymous access is disabled. Right. And you can see here, we are using NTLM right now. Okay, so that is, if I logged into the site, which I have done over here, you can see I'm actually logged in with acsdemo/administrator, right? And that acsdemo is the name of my local machine. Now, before we go any further with this, there is one more thing we need to do, and that's because this is using claims, and I'm going to stay back here just to stop the feedback. Because this is using claims, right? We're not actually sending our username and password over the wire between a login provider such as Facebook or Gmail, right? We're actually saying something along the lines of, I trust that what's called relying party, that it's going to provide an identity provider for me, and I'm going to utilize that to log into SharePoint. Essentially, behind the scenes, what that means is we're going to exchange a certificate, right? Because a certificate's just a nice big way of encrypting credentials and making a trust between the two points, okay? So the first thing we need to do is create a certificate. Oh no, wrong button. Okay, now I can make a certificate by browsing to, and I'll try to zoom in on it in a second. Okay, if I go to C Program Files, Microsoft Office Servers, 15.0/tools, I've actually got a utility in there called MakeCert, which will generate a certificate for me, which is what I need to do the next step. So. Okay, I'm using CN equals www.demo.local as my canonical name for the certificate, but I don't need to do that. It can be whatever I want it to be, right? We don't actually care about the URL for this kind of certificate or whatever's there. It's just a name for the actual object. Okay, great. Now, if I'm correct, we should be able to have a look in the certificate snap-in and see a certificate that's been created. So I'll open up MMC and I'll add in the certificate snap-in. Now, as I actually specified at the end here, -ssmy, right, it's going to show up in the My User Account store, right? So we'll go have a look there. If we expand our personal certificates, you can see I've now got a certificate for www.demo.local. Now, if you're creating a certificate in another manner, you have to be careful to make sure two things. First off, one, you've got that little key. Can everyone see the key on the icon there? Right, that key indicates that we've got a private key associated with that certificate, which you do need, right, to upload to Azure for this to work. And the second thing you want to do is, as of October, actually, we won't worry about that for now. That's okay. We don't need to worry about that. Okay, I'm going to just flick back over to Azure and see if that namespace has been created. And yes, it has. So to get access to that namespace now, all I need to do is click on it and click on Access Control Services here, which will load me into the actual namespace and all the access control services that are related to that namespace. Okay, the first thing I'm going to do is go over to identity providers. Now, as you can see, for this particular namespace, out of the box, I already have access to the Windows Live ID identity provider. But I'm going to add another one. And we'll add in Google, for instance. Okay. And we'll click Save. Now, that's giving me the ability, that screen we had a second ago, to add an image right to the login button if I wanted to do that. So instead of clicking on, say, the text Google or the text Facebook, I could put in, say, the image of the little Facebook logo or the Google logo, and users could click on that, just for a nicer experience, I guess. Okay, the next thing I'm going to do is go over to relying party applications. Now, just to make it clear, relying party applications is the actual trust I'm setting up between myself, my SharePoint environment, and Azure. The identity providers are trust between Azure and other identity providers such as Facebook, Yahoo, Google, LiveID, anything you want to that, you know, can accept these kind of claims. Okay, I'm going to add a new relying party application. And I'll call this one www.demo.local. I'm going to put the realm in as http www.demo.local. Now it's important to notice here that the actual protocol that you specify matters, right? If you put in HTTPS, it'll only work if the site's HTTPS. If you put in HTTP, it'll only work for HTTP. And each realm is effectively a web application or a alternate access mapping assigned to a web application. The return URL will be /_trust/. Now if we want to, we could put in an error URL, something friendly to say you weren't able to access this site. We're not going to do that in this demo. And the next thing we're going to do is make sure, and this is very important, that we set the token format to SAML 1.1. That's because SharePoint doesn't understand SAML 2.0, so SAML 1.1 is fine for our needs. And the next thing we need to do, and this is the next most important thing, is we need to increase this timeout. Now, out of the box, the authentication timeout for SharePoint with a remote identity provider is 600 seconds, right? So if, let's say, the timeout was hit, if say you left the timeout at 600, right, what would happen is that every few seconds you get re-prompted for authentication. It's just one of these little things that you don't know unless you've changed it. So what I tend to do here is I set it to 1800, right, which is 30 minutes. Okay, you see I've got the option to select the identity providers Google and Windows Live ID here, and I'm also going to create a new rule group. And finally, what we need to do is we need to use a dedicated certificate, okay, which is that certificate we created earlier. Now, before we can use that certificate, we need to go back to MMC and actually export it out. So that's what I'm going to do now. So I'll right click on the certificate, go all tasks, then export. And I need to actually export this both with a private key and without a private key to do this setup properly, so I'll do that. So the first one I'll do is with a private key. I'll just next through this and I'll put a password in. Next, and I'm going to save that to C drive, certs, and we'll call this demo.local.pfx. Okay, and pfx indicates that the private key's there for that certificate. And as I mentioned, we need to do that export again and just do it as a .cer file. So this time I'll select no, do not export the private key. And I'll just click next through it and I'll call it the same thing with a different extension, .cer. Okay, finish. Now what I can do is go back into Azure, and when I've said use a dedicated certificate, I can click on browse, go to C drive/certs, and pick out the demo.local, and you've got to make sure it's the PFX file. So we'll click that one. And it's also going to ask me for the password, otherwise I won't be able to do anything with that certificate. And I'll click save. Okay, and now you can see we've got a relying party application that has a certificate associated with it for the realm www.demo.local. The next thing we need to do is we need to make some rules around this, because otherwise, you know, we can't rely on this application to do our identity for us if we don't have some rules to say how it's going to work. So we'll go over to rule groups, and you can see the default rule group that I created by ticking that box previously is there. I'll click on this. And the first thing I want to do is click generate, because you can see down here we've got an exclamation saying no rules have been added. Click generate to generate rules automatically, or click add to rule, add rules manually. So I'll click generate. And I'll generate rules for both Windows, Live ID, and Google. And you can see now that we've got three rules for Google and one rule for Windows Live ID. Now, does anyone know why that is? Is anyone actually familiar with Windows Live, the ID system? All you can actually get out of it as a user, right, a developer or someone using the system, is a unique identifier. Now, that's going to cause some problems for us, right? Because we need to know a little bit more than that for SharePoint, right? In particular, we need two things. We need a unique name and an email address. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to fake it a bit. So what we'll do is we'll add a new claim. Okay, so we want to do it for the identity provider, Windows Live ID. And we want to take the input claim type of name identifier, which is the unique identifier we need. Right, that's the only thing that is available from Windows Live, as I said, is the name identifier. And we're going to go to the output claim identifier, and as I said, we were missing one, which is email. So if I go to this one here, what we're doing there is we're mapping the name identifier, your Windows Live unique ID, to the email address claim, right? Which means that we'll have all the information we need at a bare minimum for SharePoint to be able to authenticate a user. Okay, and we'll call it mapping Live ID unique identifier to email address, just to make it manageable. And we'll click save. Okay, now believe it or not, we've actually finished in Azure. That's how easy this is, right? All we need to do now is go back over to SharePoint and run a little bit of configuration to get this to work. So, as I'm already on my SharePoint server, let me just close that out. We have to do this in PowerShell. Right. Is everyone here comfortable with PowerShell? Yep. Now, I realize that's hard to see. Let's see if we can bump it up a bit. All right, we'll see how that goes. We might have to page off to the side a bit. Can everyone see that okay? Yep, great. Okay, so let's do this. Now, please let me know if you see any typos, because there's a good chance I could get one. Okay, so the realm is going to be www.demo.local. My sign-in URL is going to be, now this we actually have to get from Azure. So I'm gonna quickly go back over there and go to the application integration tab, which tells me how I can actually use this ACS environment. And I'll click login pages. Click on that. And we can actually see the URL I need here, right? And it is that. So https://mroads.demo.accesscontrol.windows.net port 443/v2/WS Federation. So we'll take that, paste that in, Okay, now remember how I said earlier we needed to export a PFX and a .cer? SharePoint uses the .cer, Azure uses the PFX. So that's why we exported out two copies. And so I'll do that. And now I'm going to do some of the magic here. And this is the actual command that does it for us. New hyphen SP trusted root authority. Okay. And what that's actually done is that's created a trust for me, right? So if we go into SharePoint now and under security, we go to manage trusts, and you can see we've now got Azure ACS right in the certificate store. Okay, now it's great that the certificate's actually there, but we can't use it yet. Now we actually need to add a trusted identity token issuer before we can use it. So that's our next command. So, new hyphen SP trusted identity token issuer. And we'll say, oh, sorry, I missed a step. I need to add one more variable. Right, what that is, that's saying that I want the identifier to be the claim identifier for email address, which is the one we saw earlier. Now, we don't actually need to know these details, really. We just need to set it up, right? So that's what we'll do. Sorry. Okay. And now we can use that, so. Now it's important here that we've actually kept the name nice and brief and short, because that's going to show up in our every single username in our system, right? So if we put something really long in, it's going to make it difficult to manage. By putting it just as ACS, it's nice and easy. And we'll put a nice description in, so Windows Azure ACS V2. We'll use the realm variable we set. Sign-in URL will be the sign-in URL we set. Trust certificate will be the certificate we set up earlier. The claims mapping will be the claims mapping we set up. And The identifier claim will be claims mapping dot input claim type, which is one of the properties of that object. Okay, and if we just have a quick look and make sure that all looks right. Yep, that looks right to me. And there we go. That's actually the authentication setup, believe it or not. That's how simple it is, right? Does everyone think they could do that on their own environment pretty easily? Yeah, I think you could, because there are a few blog posts out there you could follow to get this information. Okay, now, what's really cool about this, has anyone set up forms-based authentication for SharePoint before? Yeah, can I see hands, please? Yep. How much of a pain in the butt was it? You know, let's say you had two web applications, right? At a minimum, you're going to hack up four different web.config files. You're going to have to go and have a look at your STS config file, which is, you know, obscure, right? Not many people are familiar with that kind of thing. It's really difficult, and it's not manageable. If someone came into your organization tomorrow, could they actually manage that for you? Right? Not unless you spend a lot of time documenting. The reason why this is so powerful is this. I'm going to show you right now. You don't need to do any of that to get forms-based authentication at all, right? This is how easy it is. If we go to authentication providers, all those steps in PowerShell we just did, they added this. Can everyone see that? Trusted Identity Provider, ACS. So now, if I want to set up forms-based authentication, that's how easy it is. Is that not like 20 times easier at least than FBA. I love it, it's fantastic. Okay. Now what we're gonna do while we're here, right, is we're going to turn on anonymous access. Now you don't necessarily need to do this step, but it makes it a little bit easier for me to demonstrate it to you. Okay. I'm gonna click save. That's gonna take a few seconds to click through it. It is actually saving it. It's just a little bit of a bug in 2013 that it's not showing it for a few seconds. I am gonna go over to my demo site. This is the one I'll be authenticating against. And I'm going to go to settings and enable anonymous authentication. Actually, seeing we've made a change to the identity, it's not gonna let me do that until we log back in. So we'll give that a second to run. What we're gonna do before we do that, this isn't actually gonna work yet because we've generated a certificate that's not trusted. So we need to make sure that certificate's trusted before we go any further. So what I'm gonna do is I've got this certificate here, www.demo.local. I need to add in the snap-in for the computer account. So certificates, I'll click add, I'll go to the computer account, and I'll click finish. And what I actually need to do here is I need to import the certificate into the Trusted Root Certificate Authorities store. Trusted Root certificates, and I'll just do a quick import. Now it's important here that we add in the PFX file, not the .cer file. Okay, and the default is .cer, so you gotta be careful. All right, get the right one, add that in. Okay, we're done. It's okay. Okay, so let's save that now. So hopefully, and what should happen is it should ask us to sign in. Now that's not the optimum behavior, but we do need to sign in with the NTLM account. All right, so Windows authentication. And we need to set the site to anonymous, and then we should be ready to do a test run and see if we can actually sign in with Live ID or Google. We're working on it. There we go. Okay, I'll go over to site settings. I'm going to go to site permissions. And I'm going to grant anonymous user access to the entire site. Okay, that's done. So now what I can do is I can sign out. See, we might need to restart IE to get this to work. Yeah. Right, there we go, sign in. All right, let's give this a try. Okay, so it's already successfully redirected us back. And what I'll do is I'll select my Windows Live ID. And you can see, because I had my identity, because I was logged into Azure, it's successfully logged me in. Now, can anyone see a bit of a problem there? Yeah? That's not terribly helpful, is it? That for everyone who can't see, look at this. This is my username. Now, because this is a claims-based system, right, if the claims exist, we should be able to pull them back into SharePoint. The claims don't exist in Windows Live, right? So I can't get that property out. Let's sign out. And what we'll do is we'll sign in again. And this time, we will sign in with ACS. And we'll go for Google. And what it should do is it should prompt us and say, hey, wait a second. Okay, look what it's doing, right? Because this is a proper claims-based system, has anyone seen this kind of thing before in Facebook especially? Right, when you hook your Facebook account up to a mobile app, you get this warning saying mroadsdemo.accesscontrol.windows.org is asking for some information from your Google account markroads@gmail.com. Now, the only claim we're asking for is email address. But had I wanted to, because Google, you know, claim system has all this information populated, I could get first name, last name, phone number, whatever I want that's in there. I could get that back into SharePoint if I wanted to. We'll allow that. And hopefully, up in the top right-hand corner, oh, that's not good. Let's try that again. I'm going to close that browser down. It's not a demonstration without a demo failure, so. Select ACS. Okay, there we go. So all I needed was a browser restart. Now, that's obviously nothing wrong with the server. It was just case information. So you can see now that we've actually logged in, we've got a much more descriptive, you know, user ID than the huge long Windows Live unique identifier, right? So that's pretty handy. Is this something you think you could use inside your org? Yeah? Okay. No? How many domains do you have?
Eight.
Sorry?
Several.
There is actually, now this is not a bug with SharePoint, this is a bug with Azure, believe it or not. There's no way in the UI to add multiple realms to a single sign-on. Right, what I mean by that is the best practices are to have a web application for, let's say, your portal site and a web application for my sites. Right, anytime you cross that boundary, you're crossing a realm. Right, which means if you're crossing a realm, you need to re-authenticate. Now, you can actually, inside SharePoint, say, I want to allow all of these realms to use this particular trust. That's fine, but Windows Azure can't handle that. Okay, it's a bit unfortunate. Something we're hoping they will fix up. If you're a developer, there may be a way to do it programmatically using the APIs, but it's well outside the realm of my experience. Let's keep on moving as we're running a bit short on time. I'm going to show you now how to hook this into Facebook, right, which is pretty cool. It's easy to do. So first thing is I need to go back into Azure. And the other thing I need to do is I need to open up another tab, developers.facebook.com. Taken a while. All right, while that's doing that, what we're going to do is get over to the ACS area again and open up the namespace because we need to add an identity provider. That's essentially what we're doing. So this is how simple it is to add a new identity provider. Hope I've remembered my Facebook account. Okay, great. What we're going to do is we're going to add an app, surprisingly enough. So go over to apps. And we'll create a new app. And we'll call it Emroads ACS. And just see if it's available. Yep. And we'll call the app namespace the same, but get rid of the capital letter and click create. Now, believe it or not, that is pretty much how simple it is. All we need to do is we need to add in the Azure sign-in URL, and that's it. Then we need to go back to Azure and link them together quickly. So, well, unfortunately, it's not being terribly quick today. What I might do. It's developers.facebook.com. I know from experience is a bit picky with browsers. So. Okay, it's finished. Excellent. I don't think that was the one I created, but let's have a quick look. Just doing it on both is redundancy. Okay, it hasn't created it. Let's try it again. Apps. Create an app. Yeah, this is what I was talking about with it being a bit particular for browsers. So. Continue. Excuse me. Now, all we really need to get out of this app we do need to put a URL in, otherwise this isn't going to work very well, actually. So, we'll go website with Facebook login. And it's asking for the site URL. Now, the easiest way to get that site URL, if you remember, unless I close the PowerShell, it's the easiest way to get it is to go over to development on Azure application integration login pages for that particular application. And it is just that piece of it there. So. Okay, we're finished configuring things from the Facebook app end. So you'll notice that we do have an app ID and an app secret. Now, because I put this on screen, you guys could take advantage of this right now and quickly go into Facebook and you can take advantage of it for whatever purpose you want, but it's really not going to do you much good, right? So if I was authenticating the production system, I wouldn't be sharing this with you. Okay, so I'm going to take that and just put it in the clipboard. Now we're going to go back to Azure and we're going to go to identity providers and we're going to add a new identity provider in. Okay, and this one is just simply Facebook application because Azure is already aware of how to talk to Facebook. So we'll click next. And all we need to do is put our app ID, which was that one I had in my clipboard. And the application secret, and we'll click save. Now there is one more thing we need to do, and that's, do you remember how I had to generate rules previously for the other identity providers? Right, I need to generate rules for Facebook, otherwise it's not going to know how to map the claims, right? So I'll go to rule groups. And I'll click on default rule group for www.demo.local. I'm going to click generate again, and this time only for Facebook, which, you know, has no claims in there. Okay, and now we should be able to see Facebook, you know, has the name identifier, so unique name, your email address, and if I wanted to, you know, we've got the name coming through as well. We could go through, we could map last name, first name, birthday, that kind of thing. We can get all that information out of Facebook. In fact, if we're really clever, we could write something back to Facebook after we've authenticated saying, I just signed into this site for the first time using Azure ACS authentication, and that would show up on the user's newsfeed if we wanted it to. Right. But let's quickly... Sorry. Okay. I'm going to close the browser again, just in case. And we'll go to www.demo.local and we'll click sign in. Sorry, I need to sign out first. We'll click sign in. We'll click ACS. Now, just quickly, while you're seeing this, you see how we've got Windows and ACS, and then that's going to give us another choice again? That's not ideal, really, is it? You know, you don't want your users having to pick between two things they probably don't understand. So by architecting your web applications correctly, you can have one zone which uses Windows authentication, right? So that, let's say you wanted to get in with SharePoint Designer, you could use that URL, and another URL which your users use, which is www.demo.local, and that only uses ACS, right? That's very easy to do. We're not going to do it here, but it's very easy to do. So click sign in, and now we should be seeing Facebook. If we click on Facebook, it's going to take us over here. Well, that's not good. Let me just have a quick look at that. Give this another try. Now, as Facebook was running a bit slowly, like earlier, it's possible it hasn't updated the changes yet. Usually it's pretty quick. Yeah, it's not working for whatever reason. I'm very sorry. It's going to take a few minutes to update, but we've done everything correctly, right? It's very easy to get this stuff up and running, as you can see. Now, we've pretty much come to the end here, so I'd like to thank you very much for coming and seeing this, and I really hope that there is some application of this for you. I'd like to think that moving authentication outside of Active Directory, especially in an extranet situation, it just makes sense, right? You don't want to manage those users if you don't have to. So if you can use Live ID, or preferably, to be honest, Google ID or Facebook's IDs, those ones work perfectly. I'd highly recommend it. Thank you very much.